verse 1 and 2. And it reads, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May the words of my mouth and meditation to my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Well, this is a point in time, and when you read the psalm, there's different people that are involved in this. And this is one where Haman is going out there and he's confessing his faith in God. It is pretty quick. It's a simple verse. I just read the two. Lord God of my salvation. He says, I know you are the God of my salvation. He confesses that right there. He says, I've cried out day and night before you. I've cried out before you. But he says, let my prayer come before you. Have we ever cried out to God and said, God, would you please let my prayer above all other prayers, would you just let this one come before you? And we want God to know that, God, this prayer that I have, this very one that I have, I really want you to hear it. Because I really want this one answered, God. Incline your ear to my cry. God, it's not enough just for me to pray, but man, I want you to hear my cry. I want you to hear my plea. This isn't just a prayer of desperation. It's him calling out to the Lord. And today we're going to talk about prayer, and at the end of service we're going to have a great opportunity to pray for one another. Oh no, I don't like praying. I don't like praying out loud. I don't really understand the language of prayer. I'm not comfortable doing that. Well, tough. Okay, we are a church body. We are prayer of faith. World outreach. Prayer of faith. And God's word tells us to pray for one another. And guess what? We're going to take an exercise today in praying for one another. And I don't want to say I don't care if you're uncomfortable, because I really do care if you are. But we're going to do it anyway. I'm going to ask that you indulge me in this so that we can maybe lay hands on one another. Oh, and by the way, at the end of service, our regular prayer warriors, they're not going to come up here unless God calls them to. You see, I'm going to call on you guys to pray for each other. And I'm going to pray for you guys to get out of your comfort zone and get off your feet. And I'll pray for you guys to pray for one another. It's difficult for me sometimes. I don't have any problem. I'll go pray for you guys. I'll pray with you. But that young lady right in front of me, it was tough. Oh, she gets up when I say her name. When she went through her surgery, it was very difficult for me to pray for her. And I don't know why. And I think some of the rest of us kind of go through that. Man, we can pray all over everyone else, but when it comes to our family, we're just kind of scratching our head going, I don't know how to do this, and I'm kind of uncomfortable. And it's different. And believe me, I prayed for her. But it was just different. And when we go to God in prayer, God should always be our first choice. And so many times He becomes our last resort, right? God, I've tried everything else. I went to Joe Blow. I asked them for help. They couldn't help me. I went to the church. Asked them for help. They couldn't help me. Oh, by the way, God, that's after I tried to do it myself and I couldn't help myself. God, I've exhausted all my resources. I guess I got to try you, God. Can you help me out here? And we use Him as a last resort. In Matthew chapter 17, it's a story about a boy being healed in verse 14. Matthew 17, verse 14. And I want us to hear the story, how it came about, what happened, and what Jesus told his disciples. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, Lord. But they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And as you can imagine, the disciples came to him privately, and they said, Jesus, why could we not cast out the demon? We tried, why couldn't we do it? And in verse 20, Jesus says, because of your unbelief. Just imagine that, first of all. You've been walking with Jesus. He's been teaching and training you. And you've got a simple act of casting out a demon from someone in the name of Jesus. And they couldn't do it. And then the one that's come to save the world, the Messiah. Can you imagine him saying to you, because of your unbelief. What? I could just see jaws dropping on the disciples. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. And it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So we wonder sometimes, well, God, why didn't you hear my prayer? You ever prayed and you said, God, I'm just praying out of obedience. I believe it's the thing I need to do. But I just know it's dismal. The outcome is just not going to be good. So we kind of go in there. Hey, God, if you can do this, do it. But I know you're going to do whatever you want. We really just aren't believing what we're praying for. And God says, man, do you believe it? Do you need it? Do you want it? We talked a couple weeks ago in Bible study about change. Do you need to change? More than likely, whatever you say, your neighbor's going to say, yes, they need to change. So we need to change. Now, the second question to that is, do you want to? Oh, I need to change. I just don't feel like it. Man, because I'm comfortable, I'm sitting here, and I like what I do. And you know, really, life's not bad. Why should I change? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, it may not be broke, but that doesn't mean it's working properly. Imagine Jesus saying, because of your unbelief. And I get the feeling if we ask Jesus, Jesus, why did you not hear my prayer and answer it? And if we listened hard enough, Jesus would probably tell us, by the way, Adam, it's because of your unbelief. What? Yeah. That's why it puts in the Bible also, again, many who say, Lord, Lord, will not enter. What? Imagine our surprise. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 12. And this isn't a repeat of our Wednesday night Bible study, but it's the same time it's the same thing we did there, but it's not just because it was there and I didn't have to study hard for it. It just matches up. Romans chapter 12, verse 15, and it talks about our Christian behavior. So we just heard a story about a young man that was healed. First of all, because his father knew who the Lord was and went to the Lord. And he believed that he could be healed. So now we're going to look at Christian behavior. Romans 12, verse 9 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good." I want to stop right there for a minute. Cling to what is good. That pretty much is going to tell us we have to detach ourselves from that which is not good, right? I read a story about a man that was going in a half marathon. Told you a few weeks back that my son and daughter were in a half marathon. I thought they were crazy, but they didn't. And this guy got into the marathon and he had done his little swim. He was into his 56-mile bike ride and he wasn't really up for that 12-whatever-point-whatever run afterwards. And so he's running and he's thinking to himself, "I'm crazy. What am I doing in this thing? I'm not set up for it. This is ridiculous. I don't have the energy." And he walked or was running beside another guy and he kind of caught up and he says, "Man, how are you going to do this?" The guy said, "Man, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. I'm not going to make it. And I should just stop out now." Didn't take him long to figure out, I need to pull away from this guy because him and I would be on the sidelines at half a mile from here. So he caught up to an older lady, a grandmother actually, that was running. Said, "How are you going to do it?" She said, "Man, each step gets easier. And I know it seems like it's hard, but you can do it and you're going to make this and you'll complete it." Well, guess who he stayed up with? He clung to that which was good. And that includes what's being piped into our ears. Is somebody feeding you full of something that says you can do it and you can make it? And by the way, you're going to be okay. Or somebody saying, "You might as well just quit now. You're wasting your time. You'll never make it." And he kept up with that grandmother as long as he could. And then she ended up taking off and he had to slow down. But it was enough to motivate him to finish that race. Cling to what is good. And that means release that which is not good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Oh, serving the Lord. That can happen here at church. It can happen outside of church. Do it with other people. Serve the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Oh, not just be in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. That should be an ongoing thing that we do. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to his hospitality. And it goes on and it says in verse 14, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." Verse 15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice. But are we willing to slow down and weep with those who weep? Be of the same mind towards one another, and do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion." Are we willing to slow down, rejoicing with those who rejoice? Man, that's great. It's a party, we made it, woohoo! But when we didn't make it, and someone's weeping, they've lost a loved one, they've lost a job. They got a bad report from the doctor. Their finances took a turn for the worse. Are we willing to sit with them in our uncomfortable moment and sometimes just sit and not talk and not spout out scripture to them, but just sit with them and weep with them who weep? Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. You know, as we read this, we talked about Zechariah. We just touched on that briefly in Bible study a few weeks ago. And it's important. It just has been in my mind for the last month and a half, actually, as I was studying for that, and since that time. And it talked about them building up and then tearing down. We build things up in the name of Jesus, and then at the same time, boom, they're torn down. Sometimes within a generation, sometimes it takes generations. But we lose things. We lose things that are God's. Temples are built and torn down. And we read about God blessing them and pouring out His blessing. But He didn't pour it out until they were repentant and they got a little bit of spiritual revitalization going on. We may think, well, God's been good to me. God may have been good to you. But what about God being great to you? He may be dripping some blessing on you, but He will pour out His blessing when these things happen. And we think, well, it's just going to come if it's going to come. It came by my own hand. Nobody helped me get this fortune. Eesh, know anybody like that? I've done this on my own. Yeah, that's right, because you got that brain all by yourself. God didn't give you that great mind and those hands with which to do it and labor over that. Let's flip a couple more chapters into Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and then we're going to go to one other place after that, and then we're going to have the opportunity to pray. Maybe I can slip out when everyone bows their head and closes their eyes. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Eric referenced it a little bit last week. And he said, I'm not going to talk about the whole armor of God. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, let me just stop right there. Put on the whole armor of God. How many times have we heard about people riding on the motorcycles and they don't wear a helmet? They said, ah, that's just for sissies, that's for this, that's for that, I'm not doing it. There's so much freedom in this. Usually it's famous people, and then they're in the news when they have a motorcycle wreck a month later or a year later. Gary Busey, there's a football player that did that. Well, there was a guy, never wore a seatbelt. I don't like seatbelts. I don't want to mess with it. That's what he said. I wear it all the time. That's what he said. I don't believe in that. And his friend said, man, you need to wear your seatbelt. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to mess up my suit. It's going to wrinkle this. It's going to do that. Some of you guys may have the same philosophy. And then his friend came to pick him up and he had on a seatbelt. He said, what's the difference? You're wearing your seatbelt now. He said, yeah, I had a friend got in a wreck. And I went to see him in the hospital and he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And he went through the windshield and got 347 stitches in his head. See, he knew that seatbelts were good for him. He knew that was there for his safety. But it wasn't until he came face to face with the reality of it that he said, okay. And it's the same way for many of us in our spiritual lives. We know this, but it's until we have the awareness and the awakening that this is life-changing, this is life-altering, and this is life-saving. Put on the whole armor of God. It's not enough just to protect with a few things. I've got a couple witty little things out of the Bible I can fling at my enemy, and I can fling at those that come against me. You need to know the whole thing. Because the devil is going to bring those things, and he's going to bring people in that try and even say wordy things out of the Bible. You have to know it all. And you have to put it all on and protect yourself. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So again, it tells us the whole armor of God, not just a little bit. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18 right here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And we need boldness. It's hard to have spiritual revitalization if we don't have boldness. Well, I want God to come in here and help this situation. You got to speak boldly. And in closing, before we have an opportunity to pray, just flip a little further. James chapter 5. You know, so many times we wait for crisis to go love on one another. We wait for a death, a tornado, a fire, an illness. And every now and then it'd be great to get a call and say, hey, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. I just want to reach out to you as a family to let you know I'm praying for you. Well, that's kind of weird. I don't know what they'll think of me. Well, hopefully they'll just appreciate that you called to pray for them. James chapter 5, verse 13. Why don't you go ahead and come on up, Anna and Kayla. They're going to prepare us for some music at the end here. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let me just ask you guys. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. How about verse 14? Is anyone among you sick? Anybody in here sick today? And I'm not talking a cold. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, very difficult thing is church members for us to do with one another. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. But he didn't give up there, did he? And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Are the empty chairs in here from people that have wandered off? They may be in another church. That's great. But did they just wander off into nothingness? Have we checked on them? Have we reached out to them? I get calls every now and then that say, hey, why don't you call so-and-so? I'm thinking, hey, why don't you call them? Because I don't want to look like the teacher chasing the student. Why don't you be a student going after the student to check on your peer? I don't have a problem calling people. I'm just saying that sometimes we have to do it on our own. We have to stand up. Let's sing this song together here. And we're going to have an opportunity to pray here in just a minute.
Crucified, salvation through repentance.
Go ahead and sing the song with her, would you?
On which he died.
Go ahead and stand to your feet.
Now hear my absolution, forgiveness of my sin. And I think beneath the waters that Christ was buried in. I will rise as Christ was raised to life. I stand a new creation, baptized in blood and fire. No fear of condemnation, by faith I'm justified. I will rise, I will rise, as Christ was raised to life. Now in Him, I live. And I will rise, I will rise, as Christ was raised to life. Now in Now in Him I live. I rise as You are risen, declare Your rule and reign. My life confess Your lordship and glorify Your name. Your word it stands eternal, Your kingdom knows no end. Your praise goes on forever and on again. No time can stand against You, no curses shall just go. No one can steal Your glory, for it is Yours alone. I
right, what I did right now is just grab some of you that I know need some healing and just struggle with some boldness sometimes. If there's someone out there that you need prayer, would you do me a favor? Would you come up here? And if any one of you feel led to pray over one of these people, would you come do that? Because we're called to pray for one another, and we have people in need up here. Would you guys come and just lay hands? I don't care how comfortable you are in praying. You can do a silent prayer and just say, I'm here to pray for you, and pray silently. Would you take the opportunity to do that right now and come just put your hands on these people and pray for them and lift them up? You don't have to know what they're going through unless they care to share that with you. Some of you may need some additional healing. You may have some spiritual battles going on. But I want this church body to pray for one another. And I want us to get bold in coming up here and asking for prayer. And I want us not to be so sure of ourselves that we don't need that. Can we just take an opportunity to do that today? Just to put our hands on one another and pray for them. Pray for their healing, their comfort, their growth, their health. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I ask right now that those of you that are praying, those of you that are down front, you just stay there. We're going to go ahead and close out our service today and just allow that to happen. Heavenly Father, we just lift up all those people that we prayed for today. Lord, for those that still need prayer, Lord, that you may have them come up afterwards, that you may have them call on us. But Lord, what we understand out of all this is that we have belief in your work. That we have belief that you can heal. You will heal. Lord, you are there. And you have provided the Holy Spirit to be there with us. As our comforter, as our healer. Lord, help us to believe. Help us to become a repentant people, seeing our sin for what it is. And then help us increase our spiritual journey with you. In Jesus' name, amen.